With the Lord's help, I desire that we would read together from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. I desire to read the entire chapter.
Nađeno je da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu, 14. glava. Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu, 14. glava.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. May the Lord. This chapter that we have read is a portion of the discussion that took place in the upper room as Jesus shared the final Last Supper with his disciples, and they discussed many things. And John took the time to record with great detail the conversation that had taken place. John was sitting right next to Jesus, hearing every word, taking note of the conversation and even filling in some of the details of the responses of the disciples, which illustrate and bring to life the relationship between Christ and his disciples and his message to them. And it must have been very meaningful to Apostle John because he takes the time, and it is a word that is meaningful to us and meaningful to the Holy Spirit, who inspired the words to be penned for the purposes which John wrote, which was that we would read, that we would believe, and that in believing in Jesus Christ, we might have life through his name. Jesus tells his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In the preceding chapter, the discussion had gone over the fact that one of the disciples, would betray Jesus. The fact that Jesus would be departing from them. And that even Peter would deny him. And so there were many reasons why the disciples might say that there was need or reason to be troubled. Is it any different for us today? This is life. When circumstances around us cannot be explained, we know what that feels like. We know what it's like when a loved one, even as we prayed, becomes sick or is taken from us. We know what it's like to be talked about wrongly. You know what that feels like. I don't need to tell you. I know it too. But Jesus knows and understands as well. And he offers his blessing. This, as it were, a peace offering. To let not your heart be troubled. does not promise his followers freedom from trouble or hardship, quite the opposite. But he does offer that in the midst of trouble that you face, that the disciples faced, that within our hearts we might feel that calm assurance of his presence, and that our hearts would be untroubled in the midst of this troubled world and this troubled earthly life. He tells his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." As we reflect on our life and the trouble that we know and the words of Jesus Christ, we need to realize, and I find for myself, I don't know about you, I need to learn from Jesus. He is facing and anticipating the cross and its agony, a greater hardship than any of us could imagine. And yet, he is looking beyond to eternity with his Father. Can I learn from Jesus about the peace that he offers? When I look around, perhaps as at the waves of life beating upon me, or the concerns or the worries that threaten and catch me off guard, do I look beyond? Do I look beyond as Jesus looked beyond and directed his followers, his disciples, don't stay here. Look beyond to the joy that is before you as a follower of Jesus Christ, to the promises of God for eternity with our Heavenly Father. How I need to learn to think more like Jesus. To look beyond the trouble. To look to him, the author and finisher of my faith, your hope, your love. And see with faith's eye the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And the fellowship and the nearness of God's presence, especially when we go through hardship. Because he knows, he understands, and he offers us this blessing of peace within our hearts. He says, "Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." He is going to his Father's house. And he tells his disciples, you know the way. You know the way of peace. You know the way of truth. They had heard his teachings. And yet Thomas has a question and is not understanding things fully. And this is life. Oftentimes we have some knowledge, but our understanding is lacking. But he asks, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus answers him as they are sitting together after their meal, and they can look right at each other. He says, "I am the way." Thomas, what more do you need? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is going unto the Father. And no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus Christ, his Son. There are mansions in the Father's house. There are blessings at his right hand forevermore. And this fellowship with God for eternity is something that we cannot attain on our own. We would have no hope. We would be, maybe you could take a picture of a beggar at the foot of a huge mansion with no hope of entering in. Or the beautiful song that we sing of the one that stood outside the gate and pleaded for mercy, pleaded for entrance. But Jesus is telling us, I go to prepare a place for you. And yes, he is going to his Father's house. And yes, we can think of the wonders and splendors of heaven. But they would not be ours. The promise would not be ours if Jesus were not going to the cross. He prepares a place for us with the Father through his broken body and his shed blood that he offered freely. Do you know that this is how he prepared your place? This is the work that he did on our behalf. Do you know that without him you were helpless? Do you remember? Do you take note that we would have no place in the Father's house were it not for Jesus Christ and his cross that he bore for us? That precious blood that was shed, that we could be forgiven and be reunited with God. There is no way, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus brings that focus back to himself, back to his work and to his teachings. And that is the center of understanding the scriptures. Jesus Christ, his teachings, and his life. And Philip asks a question. Lord, he makes this request, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. To have a desire for a revelation of God is a good thing. But Jesus also answers him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Philip thought that he didn't have enough knowledge. There was something that was missing in what he knew. But it wasn't his mind. It was his eyes of faith that needed to be opened. Jesus is telling him, when you see me, you see God. There's nothing else that you need to know. You need to take the time to understand what that means. You need to believe and allow that truth to change your heart and your very life. And Jesus brings this to the forefront. Believest thou not? do you believe? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. We have need of the teachings of Jesus Christ and his life in order to have a relationship with God and to know God. We need this first and foremost. And many things would be taken from the disciples as they endured suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. But he impresses upon them that this is the most important. Do you know Jesus Christ? If you do, you have seen the Father. And he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Take this word, take this teaching at face value, though it is impossible for our minds to fully comprehend how it could be true, even for the disciples, as they witnessed Jesus' miracles and saw that he was not an ordinary man. But if they could not believe the word, he said, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Have you seen? Have you seen the work of Jesus Christ? Can you testify what he has done for you, for others? Do we have any reason not to believe? Jesus says, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We must have faith. We must receive the word that has been penned for us so many years ago. Believe upon Jesus Christ and find life through his name. This is the blessing of peace for our hearts. This is the hope of eternal life. I'd just like to share two exhortations from this scripture. One to believers. Draw your attention to verse 11, where Jesus explains to the disciples, and he speaks with a very understanding way of their limitations to be able to comprehend what Jesus is telling them. He's instructing them to believe, but then also pointing them, remember the works. Remember what had been done. And the disciples had that benefit of being able to see the miracles that Jesus performed, that they could know and have that confidence. Now, brothers and sisters, today, in this world that is enamored with entertainment and technology, the ideas of God are not so near to be grasped by those who do not know the Lord. And so it is a very big challenge to be able to comprehend what it means to have a relationship with God, what it means to call him our Father. And so may we have that compassion, brothers and sisters, upon those who do not know the Lord, that we would take on the ministry of reconciliation that the Lord has given us and allow the word and Jesus' works to dwell in us richly, that they would have a testimony to see of the power of Jesus Christ and his resurrection at work in our lives. And Paul exhorts the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Beautiful words of the Apostle Paul. Beautiful words that believers, we can take to heart as the useful work within God's kingdom that God has called us to. To call others to be reconciled to God, to pray for others in Christ's stead, that they would be reconciled to God, and that they would believe based on the testimony of his work within our lives. May we be encouraged to let that word dwell in us richly. Those of you who are not yet followers of the Lamb, followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the word of encouragement also for you. All of this scripture is for all of us. And we can take even just one verse with us in our hearts to bless us. It will do us good. But you have not yet made a commitment, my friend, to serve the Lord. And there is something in the way. There is some apprehension. There is some doubt. And you may find yourself like these disciples, questioning and wondering, do I know enough? Jesus gives you all that you need to know. Let it be clear that there's nothing greater that could be done for you than that Jesus would lay down his life. And you know this. Take the time to look inward and ponder what this means. What this means about the love of God toward you. What this means about your condition and your need. And his abundant grace. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. If you were sitting at that table and you heard Jesus say, arise, let us go hence, you would see him walking out that door. He knew where he was going. He was determined to fulfill his Father's will. And he was willing in love to save you. He asks you to believe. He asks you to be willing and to love him, receive his words, and find his blessing of peace for your soul. May God bless his word.
All but three verses are written in red ink, as we all know, the words of Jesus Christ in this chapter that we read. The words of promise, great assurance, hope. Jesus has promised not only to his disciples, but to all of us, those heavenly mansions. Our mind cannot even imagine what God has promised to those who love him and faithfully serve him. The three disciples that are written here, each one had a question. We might think, well, these are not the good of a questions. How did they not know who the Father is, as Philip asked? Or how will thou manifest thyself unto us? Or where are you going? We do not know. In previous chapter, Jesus was talking to his disciples. This was a preparation before he was about to leave this world and be crucified and resurrect, go home to his heavenly Father. And even Peter said, why can't I follow you now? I'm ready to give my life for you. He was ready and willing. He had the zeal. He did. But he was weak. He did not understand. Even as Thomas here says, how can we know the way? But if we were there at that time, we would probably ask the same question. Until they received the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, they had these questions. They didn't quite understand. They followed him. They loved him. They seen the miracles. And yet they were still confused. But when they received the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, all these questions were gone. There was no more questions like these. My dear friend, you might have a question also, which is good. If you have a question, ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find it. Any question, if you do not understand, ask. And it will be revealed to you. Jesus here, when they asked these questions, even if Philip said, well, show us the Father, and that will be enough. He rebuked them a little bit here. He said, I've been here so long with you. And you see me, you see the Father. We might wonder, how can they ask these kind of questions? But you know, the only way to have the understanding, the knowledge, and the wisdom, and not to ask these kind of questions, is to have the Holy Spirit within you, to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. When we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, when we receive Him, when we have that Holy Comforter within us, then we praise God, we worship Him, we serve Him, we follow Him, we love Him. We do not ask questions. We stay close to our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And we hope to have that everlasting life, to be a tenant in those heavenly mansions, to live there, to reign with our Savior forever and ever. That is a promise that God is giving unto us if we are willing to serve Him and abide, that's very important, to stay faithful unto Him as long as we live on the face of this earth. God has given us the promise. When God promises something, we all know He keeps it. He will not go back on His word. We might go back, and I hope and pray that we do not, because we have promised also that we will be faithful and serve Him and obey Him, follow His commandments, His will, walk with Jesus, trust in Him, and we will be blessed. May God bless His holy word within our heart. Amen.